And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world on shortwave radio, also on our streaming audio at powerprophecy.com, and in various other means, American Voice Network and so forth. We're glad to have a great guest today. This is a gentleman who I've been very blessed to be on his program, and I go to his website. I always find great nuggets of information. He's a man who's, well, let me just be blunt about it. He's a brilliant thinker. He really is. One of the top thinkers, I think, in America today. And not only in the economics area where you might say he specializes, but also in the religious realm. He's got a clear view of what's going on in the world's religions, how everything relates together. So whether it's political, economic, religious, Dr. A. True Ott is really a very uncommon person. And I appreciate that because I believe the audience here at Power Prophecy deserves sort of more than cutting edge. Cutting edge is not enough. You have to know the past history, the background, and tie it all together to understand the future. And that's what Dr. A. True Ott. I'm just going to call him Dr. True if he doesn't mind on today's program. But his last name is spelled O-T-T. He has a website, A. True Ott, O-T-T now, .com, and a radio show. I'll be asking him about that radio show. You'll want to go to his website because it has a lot of interesting information. Most recently, he asked some very probing questions about Mitt Romney, the Mormon connection, and the Israeli intelligence links with Mitt Romney and his Bain Capital Corporation. And I think there are things that we must consider in this coming election. Of course, I'm going to ask Dr. True if the election even matters, liberal, Democrat, Republican, conservative, are those even true labels for today? Dr. True Ott, welcome to Power Prophecy.
Thank you so much, Tex. And let me tell you, talk about brilliant thinkers. You're top on my list. I promote you all that I can. It's so refreshing to have a truth teller out there, and you are that. Your books and publications, well, a lot of people say they're hate-mongering and anti-Semitic. No, it's just again a hallmark of truth that you put out, and I'm so blessed to have to be a guest on your show today. Thank you.
Well, you know, Dr. Ott, the way I look at it, and I know a little bit about your past history. You know, the Bible talks about, well, really holy troublemakers. You go back to Elijah and all of them, and they took on the establishment. They were not compromisers. And that's true of you as well. I know there are folks out there. We won't name names today. We could talk about them. Maybe we will some other time. But there are folks that have come against you, and I know who those people are. One of them, for example, is a Jewish gentleman, and I can understand the conflicts you've had there because of your integrity. But what I want to talk to you about today is this horrible situation America is in because of the Israeli connection. You know, I did a video called Rothschild's Choice, talked about how Obama was really controlled by Israeli billionaires, Jews in Chicago and elsewhere. But you have really done a great job in exposing, and you're one of the very few people in the entire United States that has exposed the link between the Mormon Church and Mitt Romney and Israeli intelligence. Would you tell us a little bit about what's really going on there and what we have to fear with Mitt Romney and Israeli intelligence?
Well, and to get to the point of where I'm thinking today, like you said earlier, Tex, you have to go back to the really early history. And I've been a student of this since in the early 80s, where I uncovered some real questionable links in doing a study of genealogy, okay? Fritz Springmeier's book came out, The Bloodlines of the Illuminati. I took that, and being a good Mormon at the time, you're encouraged to go and do genealogical research and homework. And so I did that, first of all, on my aunt line, and I came and found out that I go back again to German royalty that really traced back to the tribe of Benjamin and back into the original, you know, tribe of Israel, which is Jacob. Jacob, which is Israel. And I found also there were some constant wars going on, and I guess it's programmed into my DNA, Tex, you know, and as it is to Esau, which is Edom, and following those bloodlines is what led me to a huge revelation. And that's what I really want to talk about, as it all involves Mitt Romney. The people that call themselves Jews in Israel today, I think that's a real misnomer. It goes back to really who they are, the tribe of Esau, which is Edom. Now, this crosses all religious barriers as far as the Roman Catholic Church, because I was able to trace the origins of Constantine and the very origins of Roman Catholicism to, again, the Edomite nation. And then the bloodlines cross over into the Mormon hierarchy. Brigham Young, specifically, an elitist Edomite by the name of Orson Hyde. Now, most Mormons, and I dare say most Christians, have no idea of the links between Orson Hyde and the state of Israel. The Mormon prophet, which I come to find out now, was a grand wizard, a shaman. Yes, I'm convinced he was a Satanist, Joseph Smith. Through divine revelation, again, through, I believe, now a revelation from Lucifer, commissioned this Edomite, Orson Hyde, to travel. This is in the 1830s now.
So he was one of the early disciples then of the Mormon Church and Joseph Smith.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Orson Hyde, was one of the first 12 so-called apostles of Joseph Smith. Orson Hyde went to Palestine. There at the Mount of Olives, he gave a dedicatory prayer, and by the power of Joseph Smith's holy priesthood, commissioned all of the world, you know, to have the return of the Zionists. This was the very first Zionist movement. And as a Mormon growing up and as a missionary in upstate New York, I rubbed shoulders quite a bit with some very high-profile rabbis who were very, shall we say, protective and knowledgeable about the role of Orson Hyde in Zionism. In fact, they bragged that David Ben-Gurion and virtually every general of the Israeli Defense Forces from the very beginnings, from the very state of Irgun, that the terrorists, they all had the prayer of Orson Hyde memorized.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, most Mormons don't even know this history. They really don't. They're ignorant of it. But if you were to go to YouTube or just Google up Orson Hyde Memorial Gardens, you'll see that the nation state of Israel, which is Edomite, nothing to do with Israel, the pure bloodline Israel, they should be called the nation of Edom, they have given to the Mormon church in Salt Lake City a vast plot of land on the sacred Mount of Olives, and there is an Orson Hyde Memorial Gardens with monuments and plaques and everything. Okay, so when you understand that bloodline connection to Orson Hyde, Brigham Young, and the top echelon of Mormonism, you see that Mittens Romney and his bloodline is directly tied to that. They are the prime Zionist movers of the Edomite tribe, Tex. So that helps up really explain the top 10 questions to Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that would also give us a hint of what Christ was saying in the book of Revelation about the synagogue of Satan, them which say they are Jews, but are not, and are the synagogue of Satan. So they're really not Jews. They call themselves Jews, claim to be of the true bloodline of Abraham, Jacob, and so forth. But they're just false. They're the Edomites.
That's exactly who they are. If you go back into the original Greek text and really get into that to find out that Jesus was of Nazareth, of Galilee, he was a Judahite, completely different bloodline. The historical record of Jesus of Nazareth showed he was an auburn-haired, curly-haired, with light blue-gray eyes and very fair skin. And see, so it's a far cry from the racial types of modern-day Edomites, which are typically black eyes, dark hair, swarthy complexions, you see. And it's just a matter, again, of proving this with genetics. This is more and more becoming fact. Some of these ancient archaeological sites in Israel and the Holy Land that date back to the, you know, the time of Jeremiah the prophet, they're seeing that these genetic features, testing the bones, they show they're more Caucasian than what we call Edomites today, which is the Eastern European Khazars, okay?
Yeah, there was a real Khazar connection, too. So you really just don't have the ancient tribe of Judah there. Now, the Mormon church then from the very beginning, from what you're saying, with the disciple of Joseph Smith, one of the 12 top leaders, who went to Israel. Well, it wasn't Israel, it was Palestine at the time, of course. But, you know, even then the Rothschilds were interfering evidently in the affairs of that area of the world and had plans to bring about a new nation of Israel someday. But the Mormons and Jews have shared these theological connections then from the 1830s.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, in my view as an ex-Mormon and knowing what I know from the inside sources, there, you know, the Mormon church at the highest level is the very definition of Zionist, okay? But then you have to decide who and what is Zionism. Is it really Christian? And that's where I really had to take a stand for Christ and came to Christ and really became a born-again Christian. And we're talking about I'm a fifth generation Mormon from both sides of my family. This was not an easy thing for me.
Oh, that had to be real tough. There must have been a real emotional and almost a psychic connection that you had to break because of the truth that you had acquired. Now, today, what's the result? You know, it seems amazing to me. I understand that the Mormons, the church leaders in Salt Lake City, and the chief rabbis in the government of Israel have signed a protocol. I think that's what they call it, a protocol, in which Mormons say they will not evangelize. They will not attempt to convert the Jewish people.
Right.
So it's sort of, you know, for them to claim that they're the world's greatest evangelists, and they send out the young men two by two, but they don't want to, they have agreed with this protocol not to evangelize Israel. Is a real gap there, isn't it?
Well, there is, and the very fact that, again, the nation state of Israel there allows the Mormon presence, BYU studies, Brigham Young University studies, and just you know, their campus there is unique also among. They won't have a Tex-Mars Christian college there.
No, I don't think so. And evidently they won't have a Truett theological seminary either. Well, you
Not
know, I'm reading the Deseret News from the Deseret News Archives, January 7th, 2011. It says something, and I'd like to know your opinion on this. It starts off by, it's a Dateline, Dr. Ott, Salt Lake City. And it says strong bridges of friendship and commonality are being built between Mormons and Jews. And it talks about this Jewish LDS guy. He's of the Jewish bloodline, he claims. Mark Paradis is his name. And he's been going around to Mormon churches, you know, talking about the good relations and the wonderful connections between Jews and Mormons. But this Paradis says, and let me just quote this directly, because I think this is important for you to comment on. He says, in 2009, five rabbis toured the Draper, Utah LDS Temple. One of the rabbis, a 75-year-old who has been doing interfaith work for 50 years, removed his yarmulke, you know, his skull cap, while in the celestial room and said, quote, it was the holiest place he had ever been in. Then Paredes continued, quote, I think this will make Latter-day Saints appreciative of their own faith, and Mormons who deal with Jews will really have a profound appreciation for their own doctrines and temples, etc., and will understand how it fits in with the overall mission of Israel.
Yeah, that's exactly the telling point. Now, the Deseret News, of course, is Mormon Church owned and operated. It's their news organ, okay?
Uh-huh.
The Tribune is the competing voice here in Utah, and that story was never even broached. Now, this is important because, again, the mission of Israel, you see, is to fulfill the Antichrist agenda.
Ooh.
Clearly. I say this all the time on my radio show, Tex. The final benediction on Jerusalem, and you have put this out so much in all of your brochures and publications as well. Jerusalem was cursed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "Your house is left unto you desolate.
Mm.
You rejected me." He gave his final benediction. It's a cursing on the earth, and so when you see a third temple being built, it's to the Antichrist. When Christ gave up the ghost on the cross, and it is done, the Holy of Holies was rent, it was opened, the veil was torn, and there was no more need for a temple of sacrifice. I share this with all of my LDS friends and family as much as I can without getting them hostile. I said, why do we need a temple? If we need a temple, it just means that Jesus Christ was not divine, that he gave no sacrifice to us. If you're wanting to build a temple, it's to the anti-Christian ideal, you see.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And in 2 Thessalonians, it speaks of the Antichrist, apparently, going into a rebuilt temple, and they're declaring that he's God and above all gods.
Indeed, and that comes into the area of transhumanism and what Bain Capital has been doing in the field of transhumanism with our... with the Edomite scientist and inventor, Raymond Kurzweil. I call him Kurzweil.
Okay,
I hope I don't mind that. But, the whole ideal of transhumanism, as you know, Tex, is to make God out of the hands of man. And that's the original sin of Lucifer, wasn't it? I mean, he comes up and, in an interview on the singular, the transhumanist agenda, the final comment by Ray Kurzweil, when asked, does God exist? Kurzweil replied simply, not yet.
Not yet.
That should sum it up.
Wow. So we're all, at least those who have what they believe is a higher consciousness, a higher spiritual depth, they're the ones that are becoming the gods then.
Yes, and under the it's called the singularity movement of Raymond Kurzweil. His vision is by this all occur by, at the latest, the year 2040 or 2045. His vision is simply that there will be no death, that technology will be such that the human blood is regenerated, the DNA is renewed by means of robotics, by means of these nanotech particles, that there's no aging, no death. There would be, again, a society where there's no sickness. It's absolutely a false vision of what Christ and the resurrection is all about. You see, it's the Antichrist opposite agenda.
Now, if they see this in a physical sense, but... Well, let me just ask you, going back to this connection between Judaism, which is a satanic religion according to Jesus, and the Mormon church faith, and let me even bring in the Masonic lodges, the Masonic, because evidently Joseph Smith began as a Freemason, and apparently, and I'd like to know what your research has shown, he brought in much of his Freemasonry, its doctrines and its rituals and so forth, and used those as the basis for his Mormon faith. So you would obviously then have to have a connection. And since, you know, I remember a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Stephen Wiseman, said that Judaism is Freemasonry and Freemasonry is Judaism.
Indeed.
You have the same gods. You know, in Israel today, Rothschild has built all these monuments that are from Egypt. You know, in the very center, near the Student Union of Hebrew University, they've erected an obelisk. At the Supreme Court of Israel, the architecture has the Egyptian obelisk and the pyramid. And so apparently they want to return to Egypt. So then you would have sort of a horrible satanic circle, wouldn't you? Everything returns to Egypt, and maybe even the Mormon church would do the same thing with its masonry.
Well, that's indeed. That's the god of Judaism, the god of Edomites, okay? And this is, again, going back from the covenant made with Esau, which is Edom, to the god of this world. The god of this world would be, of course, Lucifer, the fallen one, the fallen angel. Now, in interviews with individuals that are in the know in the synagogues, right, they declare that most Jews don't like to admit it, but our god is Lucifer. So they admit it. And in my humble opinion, in my research, that is the god of Mormonism as well. There's no doubt in my mind that Joseph Smith was a prophet. No doubt in my mind. He couldn't have had anything else but revelations from a god. The problem is, it's Lucifer that he received it from. And so that's the unity. Yes, the unification. Why you would see rabbis coming in and taking off their skull caps in the celestial room, okay? Because it has an altar that faces the god of the east. Now, what I found in my research as well, Joseph Smith's father, Joseph Smith Sr., was a grand and exalted master of the Batavia Lodge, the same one that was infiltrated so deeply and thoroughly by the Illuminati in the late 1700s, early 1800s. Captain William Morgan was one of the members of that lodge that Joseph Smith Sr. was a leader in. Mm-hmm. So the expose of Captain William Morgan was exposing Joseph Smith's father and relatives in that lodge in Batavia. It's also interesting to note that Captain William Morgan's wife, his widowed wife after his death, became the polygamist wife of Joseph Smith.
Now that is fascinating. That is really. But then Morgan opposed and exposed Freemasonry with the first book, as far as I know, published in America, exposing, you know, the first, at least the Blue Lodge up to the first three degrees. And so the Masons hated him for doing this, and he paid with his life when these Freemasons murdered him. But they also excommunicated Joseph Smith, didn't they? Because he had stolen the Masonic rituals and knowledge and incorporated it into the early Mormon church?
Well, if you progress to the point of Nauvoo, Illinois, okay, Nauvoo had probably the grandest Masonic temple in, you know, east of Boston or west of Boston, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic there in Nauvoo. The Nauvoo Temple was bigger and better, of course, than the Mormon Temple. But the Masonic Lodge there was a great and wonderful facility. My ancestor on my mother's side his name was Joseph Haywood. He came out to Utah after disposing of the Masonic Hall and the Mormon Temple, were trying to sell the properties. Okay, he came out a year later in the year 1848. He was appointed by Brigham Young to become the Postmaster General. Now, what's this? This is all documented in his journals and papers that I still have in my possession.
Mm-hmm.
Before he could become the territorial postmaster, he had to go back to Boston, Massachusetts, lodge in there, become Master Mason.
Hmm.
I've since found that every single postmaster of that era had to be a Master Mason. And that was by directive by Albert Pike, Grand Master.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the question that I had when I found all this out was, well, Joseph Smith supposedly, you know, the church official position on Masonry is that Joseph Smith received the Masonic degrees and made a declaration that it had become, it was basically the false endowment that he would make it right by his revelation, okay?
I see.
So they basically said that the Mormon temple, there's some similarities between that and the Masonic signs, oaths, and tokens, right, was just merely that this was the apostate. The Masons were the apostate endowment. Now, as I asked that question as a young missionary going through the temple and being endowed myself, because I had done enough research even shortly after my mission on Freemasonry, wondering, well, shouldn't we be Freemasons too, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the question officially answered by authorities of the church, such as Elder Hugh Pinnock, said, well, the Masons, the Masonic rites, are apostate. Then, okay, here's my ancestor who received his Mormon endowment in the Nauvoo Temple before he left Illinois, gets to Utah, and by order of Brigham Young, goes all the way back to Boston to receive the apostate version?
That's interesting, yeah.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, it could be at a certain level. It's interesting, you know, I don't read it much anymore, but I used to read, have subscriptions to the Scottish Rite Journal. You know, it was the New Age Journal, or just New Age. And then the Scottish Rite people, you know, they were afraid that people would think they're like New Age Shirley MacLaine and, you know, into all of the wacky stuff. So they changed it to Scottish Rite Journal. But I noticed a number of issues in there would talk about Joseph Smith and brag that he was one of the greatest Masons of all time. They actually acknowledged him as one of their own and talked about how he was able to form this religion, the Latter-day Saints Church, Mormonism, based on what he had learned in Freemasonry. So they don't talk about him in scathing terms. They're quite proud of the fact that Joseph Smith was one of theirs. And I'm talking about modern day Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Isn't that interesting?
Indeed. And I would concur with that, Tex, most definitely. Because, you know, the history is simply Joseph Smith Sr. Under Joseph Smith Jr. He was the patriarch of the church. And he never was ever excommunicated from Masonry. He was still one of the charter founding members of the Batavia Lodge there in Batavia, New York. So they're proud of him. And Brigham Young died a Mason first, a Mormon second.
Wow,
no doubt about that. Brigham
that
Young, in his there were paintings and photographs of him in his coffin with his Masonic apron and his compass and square. Necktie, cravat, tie. Okay, it's there. He was most definitely a Mason first. He received constant communiques through courier from Albert Pike during the whole Civil War years.
Albert Pike, who was the Sovereign Grand Commander at that time of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, the largest sect. Well, we're going to take a break here. Dr. Ott, boy, this is fascinating stuff. I've got so much to ask you about Mitt Romney on the other side and about his connection with Bain to this Orit Gadish. We've got to find out about that because I think this is essential to the future of America. Folks, my guest today is the very learned gentleman, Dr. A. True Ott. Please stay with us. We've got so much more when we return right here on Power of Prophecy.
Hello again, friends. Tex Morse.
You know, if you haven't read Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, my newest book, some of the things we're talking about today with Dr. A. Truott may be a little, strange, vague to you. But in that book, I explain step by step to you what Judaism really is. Why Jesus said to the Jews, and especially to the rabbis, you are of your father, the devil. Dr. Ott on this very program talked about the fact that Jesus told the Jews that they were cursed because they had rejected him. And they had rejected literally, historically, all of the prophets and murdered most of them. And Jesus said to them, you know, your house is made desolate. So he put a curse on them. And Dr. Ott is absolutely correct. But you will not hear this in your typical evangelical church, which professes to be Judeo-Christian, which is a very strange thing indeed. I hope you'll get Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, the book is a total of $30. And Jerry, I think that includes postage and shipping. $25 for the book, $5 off of the bookstore price, and then add the $5 back on, unfortunately. So total of $30, they'll take care of shipping and handling. As for the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, it's a giant book. It's 432 pages, but large format, about the size of three regular books. But believe me, there's so much packed into this book. There are several hundred photographs and illustrations. And everything you'd want to know about the truth, about the six-pointed star, its true satanic symbolic meaning, as well as Judaism and what the Jews really stand for. You'll also learn about the Talmud and some of its major teachings and its blasphemy toward the Christian faith. And there's so much more that you need to discover in this incredible book. I hope you'll order it today. Here's how to get your copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Send $30 to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, you can also go to our website, our main website, powerofprophecy.com. It's right there on our homepage. Click on and you can order it with your PayPal, your charge card, and so forth. Of course, when you phone us during the work week, 8 o'clock Central Time to 5:30, you can order using your charge card as well. Get the book. I think it'll make all the difference in your life. And then I fervently pray you will go out and tell others and spread this gospel of truth and cleave then to the true word of God, which is found in his Bible, both the old, but also the New Testament, which is very, very important. All right. Our phone number, of course, as it has been for many years, is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. With your order, of course, we'll extend your subscription or give you a brand-new subscription to our Power Prophecy newsletter. It's also available online, as well as many free videos and hundreds of free articles for you to read, including an article talking about Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And I think you'll enjoy reading those things. Okay, let's return now to our regular program. My guest is Dr. A. Truott. I want to mention that I invite you, I really do, because I enjoy it so much, because it's informative. His website, Dr. Ott's website, A. Truott, A, and then True, Ott. I like the way the alliteration on that, A. Truott, okay, .com. He also has a radio show. Dr. Ott, welcome again back to Power Prophecy.
Thank you, Tex. Yes, indeed.
Now, you have a radio show. How can folks listen to that?
It is on The Micro Effect. That's EFFECT, themicroeffect.com. Friend Joe McNeil has this great idea, and it's been wonderful. There's a lot of micro broadcasters across this great country, A lot of the Deep South loves the micro broadcasters.
Yeah.
Small independent little broadcasters. And so he has a program where he just lets you tap into the program module. And so, yeah, you can hear live stream over the internet at themicroeffect.com. My story, my book, my radio show is called The Story Behind the Story.
The Story Behind the Story. And I think that's a truthful a title, by the way. Dr. Ott, I'm reading from, oh, let's see. Oh, my goodness. I believe this is Time Magazine. A little article entitled Mitt on Mormonism, where he discusses his faith. And let me read this to you, and I think you'll get the gist of what's happening here. He says, this is now Mitt Romney himself, and this was quoted in the Atlantic magazine. He says this. He says, how Mormon am I? You know, the principles and values taught to me by faith are values I aspire to live by and are American as motherhood and apple pie. My faith believes in family, believes in Jesus Christ. It believes in serving one's neighbor and one's community. It believes in military service. It believes in patriotism. It actually believes this nation had an inspired founding. It is, in some respects, a quintessentially American faith. How would you respond to that?
Well, he's absolutely right as far as it being quintessential American, because as I found out in my deep research, the American Revolution was precipitated by Edomite Jewish bankers. I mean, the Civil War, for heaven's sakes, was fought and precipitated by the separate houses of Rothschild for a very important reason. That's basically to massacre Christians on both sides, and they did a great job of that. The war debt of the Civil War is stunning, indeed. So, yeah, I would agree with his comment there, but the reality that they say they believe in Jesus Christ, Gordon Bittner Hinckley, the Mormon prophet, in an interview, I believe, I'm not sure what the magazine was, but he came out and flat out admitted that the Mormon Jesus is a different Jesus than the Christian Jesus. And that's right.
Well, you know, the Bible absolutely says right. There is another Jesus and another gospel. Evidently, yeah, so we have to agree with Mr. Hinckley. But that doesn't make it a good thing to believe in another Jesus, does it?
No, not at all. It's, you know, the Mormon theology is that Jesus Christ is the Mormon's elder brother, not really God, not really a savior. There was an atonement and the priest of the resurrection, but I just got, you know, when I had this debate with my good Mormon friends, I just said, look, the second article of faith of Mormonism, as written by Joseph Smith, the founder, says it all. The second article of faith says we believe that man will be punished for his own sins and not for Adam's transgression. What does that mean, Tex? Simply, if there's no fall from grace with Adam, there's no need for a redeemer. There's no need for a savior to die on the cross of Calvary, is there?
That's true. There's no original sin to be atoned by the blood of Christ. Well, isn't it also true that really the Mormons believe in multiple gods? There could be millions, even billions of gods, each one having its own planet or its own star. And Jesus himself used to be just a man like us, and he had to earn his godhood to become God of this specific planet Earth. But he's not really superior to the millions of other gods out in space. Is that correct?
And the key thing to all of that is you can't have spirit children without hundreds, if not thousands, of plural wives. That's why, you know, Joseph Smith taught the principle of polygamy. And it's so funny how the mainstream church and Mitt Romney's campaign team, they don't want to talk about Mormonism and polygamy. Make no mistake, the mainstream Mormon church still practices and believes in spiritual polygamy. Still part of their central core tenet. The Doctrine and Covenants of the Mormon Church, Section 132, says it very clearly. You cannot ascend to the so-called celestial kingdom and receive your godhood, your exaltation without polygamy, which is the new and everlasting covenant of plural marriage. They really downplay that. It's very disingenuous and downright dishonest, I must say.
So Jesus then would have today multiple wives in the heaven or place where he's at. You know, I remember one book published by Deseret Press where Troy Lawrence, the man who wrote it, talked about Jesus being married to Martha and Mary, Magdalene, and having many wives right here on earth. He was, the claim was, and again, this was published by a Mormon press, that Jesus was a polygamist when he was in the flesh.
And, you know, the downright racial inequalities. I mean, I just laugh. I mean, you got the New York, the Washington Post doing a story on early Mormon theology and racism, and they contact the Brigham Young University professor, and he gives an honest interview, you know, telling what the original doctrine was until 1978, and the church just puts out immediately, this is all folk belief, it didn't really, it's not what we believed, it's all just rumor. No.
You know, so many Mormons don't seem to really understand their church. I don't know whether they're embarrassed or what, but, you know, they'll argue with Christians and just insist that none of this is true. And yet you read all the official, you know, the doctrines and covenants and all of the things of the Mormon church, and you find it is true. The things, for example, you were talking about Orson Hyde or even Joseph Smith himself and his being basically a grand wizard. Polygamist and so forth, and they say, oh, no, none of that's true. You know, those are just ex-Mormons that are making it up. And, you know, as if there's something wrong with being an ex-Mormon. I have a question for you, and this is a strange question. I had Colonel Bo Greitz as a guest, and he was a Mormon and left the Mormon church. And I was asking him why he left the Mormon church, and he gave me a number of reasons. Basically the theology and such. But then he told me something fascinating to me, and is almost frightening in a sense. He said when he and his wife, I guess they call it a sealing, S-E-A-L, a sealing ceremony in the temple at Salt Lake City. And he said when they went through that, there are various things that upset him and his wife. But one of the things he said, he doesn't know whether it was supernatural or real, but one of the things that shocked them the most was that during the course of this ceremony, his wife and he, I believe he saw it with her, there actually was a literal, they thought, serpent. And it was crawling on the floor. And she saw it, and she saw its head go up. And by the way, I've got the tape of this. I'll be glad to send you a tape of the program with Colonel Greitz. And, you know, Colonel Greitz was sort of a Rambo type of guy, you know, that was very highly decorated during the Vietnam War, Special Forces Green Beret guy. But he said that he believed it must have been some kind of a spiritual illumination by God who was showing him this is the church of the serpent.
Well, indeed, I have a lot of respect for Bo Greitz. When I was going to SUU, he came and I sponsored some lectures of his back quite a few years in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's got a tremendous story to tell, and the the reality is the sealing that goes on there, it's most definitely binding the souls of men. Okay, because the Mormon priesthood declares that what they have the sealing keys, and what they bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's what they teach you in the temple. Well, wait a minute. Look what the definition of binding is. Isn't it meaning you're tied up, you're lost your freedom? I mean, why would you want to be bound up when Jesus Christ declared he came to loosen the chains? Did he not go into Hades after his crucifixion and there opened the doors?
I see what you mean. I guess the Mormon leadership might say, well, we're talking about binding up those things that are of satanic nature, I suppose would be there, you know, I'm just trying to be I don't want to be the devil's advocate, but just trying to.
Yeah, I know. They have a way of twisting everything. The truth, they twist it all the time. And I call it twistianity. I don't call it Christianity.
Mm.
And again, getting outside and seeing, you know, tasting the difference, that, you know, I firmly have a relationship with Jesus Christ today. I know the difference. I see the pure truths as he taught in his gospel's texts. and I see the devilish imitation that is Mormonism. It is absolutely incredibly clear to me. The thing that they have done so wonderfully is to, you know, they put the family first and foremost in everything. The family is your biggest responsibility in Mormonism. Family this, family that, family values, etc., etc. But see, the problem is that replaces Jesus Christ.
Oh, I see. You know, you're right. You seek Jesus
first,
and then these things are added to you. I see what you mean.
Yeah, not in Mormonism. It's, you know, the family, the temple, follow the prophet. The prophet will never lead you astray. And when the prophet speaks, the thinking has been done. That is Mormon theology.
Yeah, he's infallible. He's basically like the Pope then.
Exactly.
He's infallible in his theological constructions.
It's Edomite. It's Edomite doctrine.
Mm.
So I keep going back to who is Esau and Edom, okay? Where did they get the money that financed Alexander the Great, the Roman Holy Roman Empire? It goes back to the treasury at Mount Seir in Petra. I mean, the history books are clear on that. Just read your National Geographics. Petra, the red rock, the treasury of the ancient world, a repository of vast sums of gold and precious metals. This is where, you know, Esau was given the blessing of dominion. He would gain dominion in the world by the sword. And how do you finance the sword? You have to get the gold and the silver to buy up the popes and kings and the armies of the world. And this is the dominion. This is the blessing of Esau from Isaac.
You know, in Galatians, it mentions that, contrary to what people think, they believe the Arab people or the Esau folks, and you know the Jews were of Abraham, you know, Isaac and Jacob and so forth. But God, according to Apostle Paul, turns that around and talks about, you know, Sarah, but the Hagar, and that Hagar and her son are in bondage. They're the slaves. And that they're like Jerusalem, you know, it's an analogy, of course, an allegory, I think Paul calls it. But that Jerusalem, Paul says, just as was Hagar and her son, is in bondage. But it's the Christian church that is really like the heavenly Jerusalem, which is free and is the mother of us all, Paul said. So the Christian evangelicals have turned it around and made Judaism of Sarah and Abraham, but Paul said, no, just the opposite. The fact is that the slave woman and her child, they are the Jerusalem that is in bondage. And I think that also applies to what you're talking about. It really does. Well, let's talk about Mitt Romney wanting to be president of the United States. It appears now he's having a little trouble with Santorum and lesser so with Newt Gingrich. And it might be a brokered convention, I don't know, but it appears that Mitt Romney has somewhat of an inside track to it, to the nomination. And if so, he may or may not become president, but regardless, this Israeli connection. Now, he, for 25 years, says he was in private business, mostly with this Bain Corporation. And this Bain Corporation, it turns out, am I not getting this right, that Mitt Romney was CEO, but the chairman of the board, who would be his boss, was an Israeli, and
yes,
still is today.
Well, there's Bain, the corporation Bain, and then there's Bain Capital. So people kind of get those a little confused sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Bain Capital is a subsidiary of Bain Corporation. So Miska Orit Gadish, she's an Israeli-American. She's a joint Israeli citizen and American corporate strategist. You can find all this again on the Wikipedia entry. Wikipedia, again, of course, is sponsored by, you know, the Israelis. A lot of it's right on point. A lot of it's kind of, questionable. But this, when they have one of their own, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it is. And when they don't want to, I know they refuse to actually list the titles of my last 15 or 16 books.
There you go.
Yeah, they won't even, you know, they talk about books I used to have back before I got into Christian ministry. But for example, Conspiracy of the Sixth Born a Star, Codex Magica, none of those books, they refuse to even list them on the Wikipedia page.
We just see that Orit Gadish and Mitt Romney are just like Mutt and Jeff. Their careers, their upward ascension to the highest levels of Bain Company and Bain Capital are just it's beyond coincidence. There has to be people behind the scenes moving them into position. I would even go so far as to say that it's my opinion now that Orit Gadish could well be Mitt Romney's mind control handler. No doubt that she is Mossad, CIA, at the highest levels. No doubt about that. Okay, Ms. Gadish, she's still works with the chief of staff of the Israeli Defense Forces, the Mossad. In every way, shape, and form, she is one of the policymakers of this group.
And her father was a general in the Israeli army. And you're right, even the Wikipedia, the encyclopedia page, notes that she was in Israeli intelligence, just as I'm sure Rahm Emanuel was when he went over there and served in the Israeli Defense Forces. You know, I have a picture of her from Wikipedia, in fact. Shows her at the World Economic Forum, Dr. Ott. And her earrings are quite interesting. Her earrings are sort of like a flower. They're silver colored, but they're the six-pointed star.
Indeed.
And here she's wearing blue, the color of their flag, and she's wearing these six-pointed star earrings, as she's one of the keynote speakers at the World Economic Forum of the big shots, there. But now if Bain is in fact, Israeli Mossad project, then Mitt Romney is tied up in that. And I understand that Ms. Gadish would often send Mitt Romney back to Israel where he attended Mossad and Shin Bet, which is their, you know, sort of their security service, homeland security training.
Indeed. This is going back to even 2007, even before the 2008 campaign, okay? Good golly. This guy is as Israeli. He might as well, you know, have a dual citizenship himself. So I wrote these top 10 questions for Willard Mittens Romney.
Oh, those are fantastic. They are fantastic.
His campaign says, ask Mitt anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, here's some 10 questions, Mitt. And I sent it out to, this has kind of gone viral, Tex, because a lot of Mitt Romney supporters here in Utah sent it on to their campaign headquarters, care to comment, and the silence is deafening on this.
Oh, I would you mind, Dr. Ott, and I'll give you full credit for it, if we posted them on my website, you know, Dr. Atriot asked Mitt Romney 10 questions.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it because these would change everything if he, of course, would ever tell the truth, and it would embarrass him to even try to answer him because you get down really just asking him, are you handled by the Israeli Mossad? Now, one thing that he said in one of the debates, he said that the first thing that I'm going to do as president, Mitt Romney said, was I'm going to fly to Israel to assure the Israelis of our support for them against Iran. Now, why would a man who wants to be president of the United States say the first thing he's going to do is fly to Israel? I mean, what? Where's the Americanism in that?
Well, you know, again, we said before the show, you really have to pick your poison here because now you see Obama as was there with Netanyahu at the AIPAC summit.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the compilation of what Obama, he was just like he's trying to outdo Mitt to guarantee protection in any every way, shape, and form. And there's no doubt there's going to be an attack on Iran soon. I don't know when, but it's all set in stone. Obama sent or made sure that Netanyahu received the most modern bunker-busting bombs. I mean, powerful bunker busters. And that's all, you know, golly, good golly. This is what America needs to know. But Mitt Romney is not so much Israel first as Israel is the kingdom of the world first.
Mm.
Okay, this is the difference. I maintained this back in 2007. I did a video PowerPoint presentation. It's called Mitt Romney the Demagogue. I'll be happy to send you a copy of that.
I would love that.
This was right after the conclusion of the Winter Olympic Games, where he was the savior of the games, right? It was just plagued with scandal. We can do a whole show on that one, okay, because I know the inside track of that story. But I had a couple of friends from Arizona that came up and wanted to take a tour of Temple Square downtown Salt Lake, and they wanted to go into the genealogical library there just on the west end of Temple Square. We walked into the genealogical library, and lo and behold, there is this huge wall mural of a genealogical tree of Willard Mittens Romney.
Hmm.
It was entitled The Descendants of Anne Hutchinson. And I thought, why are they going to such an extent to show Willard Mittens Romney's pedigree tying into the Bushes? Okay, the whole Illuminati bloodline going back to the head witch of Salem, Massachusetts, Anne Hutchinson.
Wow.
Okay, she's the mother witch of Salem, Massachusetts witchcraft, Wicca.
Isn't that something?
And here I took this all on videotape. I took still pictures and I put it on this DVD. I'm saying, they are so busy promoting Mittens Romney as this pure blood. It's just stunning. I thought there's got to be a reason for this. Is he being groomed for the presidency? Obviously.
Yeah, obviously he is. And although he claims that his religion won't make a difference if he's president, if he's that much of a Mormon believer in the LDS and its history and so forth, then its mission. They claim that they're going to save America, when it's in great peril. But to save America, I wonder if their real mission is to destroy it. Because isn't that what we've really got? We've got this creative destruction process going on, the beat down of America, the making of a red China into a colossus, and really the ending of our Constitution and nation. And of course, all of this would be exactly what the Jews wish in order to destroy Christianity, because America, our missionaries and such, have been a bastion of Christianity up until our current generation, unfortunately, Dr. Ott. But wouldn't that really be what the Jews and Judaism, the chief rabbis, would like to see, the poisoning, the pollution of Christianity in America? And maybe with another gospel, it seems like Mormonism might be the vehicle they could use to do that.
Well, that's the central core theme of Mormonism, a.k.a. Celestial Zionism. That's what I call it, Celestial Zionism.
Dr. Ott, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on Power Prophecy today. You really helped us to understand, to know what's going on, to see how really Satan is bringing everything together under his command. And there's so much the American people don't know. I want to invite everybody to go on Dr. Ott's website, listen to his radio program if you can get it, and I hope he'll honor us by coming on again in the near future. Dr. A. True Ott, thank you so much for being on Power Prophecy.
Thanks for having me, and God bless you.
God bless you, Dr. Ott. Folks, until next time, this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.